boy that's coming from a township to be in a platform where you get an opportunity to represent your nation. It's representing all the boys that are coming from Ekasi, all the boys that are coming from rural.
Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
And that's how we start the 23rd day of the ninth month of 2025. Hello and welcome to the MoneyWeb Now podcast with Simon Brown. I'm Duduzi Leramela in for Mr. Brown this morning. Here's what you can look forward to. We're going to be wading through market movements with independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha in a few moments. We'll also look at the role of interest rates on the property market. Jonathan Koller is CEO of, and founder rather, of Lansdowne Property Fund. And vehicle prices continue to rise faster than household income. Henry Bortha is executive for strategy and product at Absa Vehicle and Asset Finance. He will give us more details on this. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Morning headlines. MoneyWeb ShopRite executives in 110 million rand share award. And Business Day, I could not take him to court. That's according to Masemola on obeying Mkunu's unlawful orders. Morning markets. U.S. stocks started the trading week on a positive note. The S&P 500 0.44%, NASDAQ 0.7%. Commodities, gold futures 3,740, Brent 66.12, platinum 1,410, palladium 1,173. The rand is trading at 17.35 to the dollar, Bitcoin 111,619. Top 40 opening call expected 32 points in the positive. Let's start with our guest this morning, Jimmy Moyaha, who is an independent analyst in terms of market movements yesterday. Jimmy, thank you very much for your time this morning. Maybe let's look at local cement producer PPC. I lose my words. They shared an operating update for the 4 months ended 31 July 2025. What stood out for you?
Morning, Dudu. The PPC numbers, I mean, we get those numbers at a strange time. So unlike kind of the quarterly numbers that we get from other companies, this four-month update almost gives you an idea of a third of their trading cycle. What's interesting about the numbers this time around is their turnaround strategy seems to be taking quite a bit of shape. They have been on quite a big turnaround strategy for a couple of years now, and margins are improving off the back of that. Their Zimbabwean business is doing well. The South African business increased revenues ever so slightly, but improved margins quite a bit there. And I think from a business perspective, PPC's biggest issue has always been around the demand side of that order book. As you start to see that demand side come back into the fold with all of the announcements that we've been hearing from the government and from all the infrastructure projects that have been approved, PPC had been starting to get a bit more optimistic around what the future looked like. But to their credit, they also then took it upon themselves to adjust a couple of things internally to improve their own business in spite of what had been a lagging demand market for the longest time. So from a business perspective, I mean, looking at yesterday's update from their side, stronger margins are always a good thing to see, but they're also doing exceptionally well in South Africa and in their Zimbabwean business. So I think from the next update that we get from their side, or at least from a full year perspective, the business should be on better footing, and hopefully the business would be in a position to continue to implement the turnaround strategy that they've been working on.
Yeah, the turnaround strategy that they dubbed Awaken the Giant, seeing the group earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization improving by more than 2 percentage points to 15.9%, while group revenue increased 4%. To your point on margins, why are they important?
So when you're in the cement producing business, or generally in any production business, from a margin perspective, if you are to simply take an order book that you have and you have X amount of orders and you have to deliver on those orders, if you have widening margins, that translates into a better bottom line. That means you're able to make more profit off of the same size of order book without needing to increase your production. So you're able to achieve the same level of production that you would normally achieve as the cement producer in this case, but you'd be able to realize more from a bottom line perspective because you're incurring less costs, for example, to produce that, or you're increasing revenues from that same production. So better margins, improved margins, ultimately result in improved profits.
The Zimbabwe business, as you noted, is doing well. What signal does this send to the markets, if at all?
So from a business perspective, I mean, it would look as though the business, number one, is diversified in its operations and its ability to generate revenues from outside of the South African market alone. And it makes for a better business case for PPC that might be looking at other regions to say perhaps there's other regions where development might be moving at a quicker pace and therefore we might be able to leverage off of different economies rather than focusing on one economy. So from PPC's perspective, it allows for a better diversified business, which also diversifies their revenue streams and their risk.
Interesting. Canal Plus is now in full control of MultiChoice. How has that been received by the market?
So that was interesting. We'd had a couple of conditions going into sort of this phase. There were suspensive conditions from ownership to voting rights and control and all of those. And the Competition Tribunal has finally granted the approval certificate, which means then that the deal from where we stand at this point is no longer conditional. All of the conditions have been met. And if we look at just what Canal Plus has had to do to get that over the line, there's been a lot of restructuring. There's been a lot of moving parts around, movements of the board, reshaping of the business, splitting up of the entities. And I think that from Canal Plus's perspective, one, was obviously mandated by the suspensive conditions, but also speaks to the fact that they almost knew that this would be something they would have to do, something that would have to take shape from a business perspective, understanding some of the laws in South Africa around ownership, or at least foreign ownership of broadcasters. So that change has meant that now Canal Plus has not only met the local suspensive conditions, they can continue with their Africa expansionary plans. It now puts Canal Plus in over 70 countries across the world, but servicing more than 70 million, more than 40 million customers across 70 countries around the world. From a business perspective, Canal Plus has been very clear about their Africa strategy, especially in the French regions where MultiChoice has had a presence. I think for Canal Plus, this deal now cements the fact that they can move forward with their expansionary plans into Africa, but also retain what it is that they had from an IP perspective in terms of the South African business and the MultiChoice business. Part of the commitments there, we have not yet seen job cuts and job losses from a MultiChoice perspective, which is also quite important to look at when these sorts of takeover deals take place.
Very interesting. Looking forward to the rollout of this. Thank you very much to independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
The MPC decided to keep the policy rate unchanged at 7%. Four members preferred to keep rates on hold, while two favored a cut of 25 basis points. Since September last year, we have reduced rates by 125 basis points, and we want to see how this is affecting the economy, how expectations evolve, and how inflation risks are resolved.
And that's the voice of South Africa's Central Bank Governor Lesitsha Ganyaho making that announcement last week. We see now how this has been interpreted by the property market. Jonathan Koller is CEO and founder of Lansdowne Property Fund. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for your time this morning. How has this been received by the market?
Hi, Didi. I think it was a little bit of a disappointment from the property market, to be honest, especially on the back of interest rates being dropped in the U.S., you know, so I think the property market and specifically in sort of the Johannesburg and KZN regions were really hoping for a 25 point basis cut just, you know, to to re-energize the markets more. I mean, it's one thing saying, yes, you know, they have dropped the interest rates by 125 basis points, which is definitely a step in the right direction. And we are seeing renewed interest in the sales that we're doing nationally. However, for us, a little bit of a disappointment that we didn't get that drop.
This renewed interest and the disappointment, to understand it better, where are we? Are we in a buyer's or a seller's market, and why does that matter?
I still think we're in a buyer's market. I mean, it obviously depends sort of what province you're talking about. Yeah. I'd say, you know, speaking about Gauteng firstly, I'd say we're definitely in a buyer's market at the moment. There is a lot of value in the Johannesburg market. However, we are seeing a lot more interest in the inquiries that we're getting, and we are seeing an uptick in terms of the sales that we're doing. However, you know, the sales are being done at prices sort of, you know, back to sort of 2010 times, you know. So I think it's part of it is a correction in sellers' sort of mindset in terms of where the market is. You know, so the seller has to sort of get to grips with the fact and be okay with, okay, I bought this property in 2010 and now I'm selling it in 2025 at 2010 pricing. So definitely a buyer's market in the Gauteng region. In the Western Cape, particularly Cape Town, it's a seller's market, specifically on that Atlantic seaboard side, you know, with record prices being had. You know, so I think it depends where you are. And then in KwaZulu-Natal as well, I think in specific areas, it's a seller's market in sort of secure estates and that sort of northern coast, Balito, Umhlanga, those type of areas. But for the rest of KZN, I'd say it's a buyer's market, you know, with the lack of infrastructure. You know, so it depends very much where you're buying. But there's opportunities in all three of the provinces.
So definitely interest rates having a regional impact when we take a look at where you are in terms of areas. So urban areas as opposed to rural and semi-urban areas. I don't know if that's something that you look at as well in terms of rural and semi-urban areas.
So we predominantly in the urban areas.
Okay.
You know, and it's so specific even within the urban areas. You know, I mean, it's specific in terms of the purchase price that you act, that you're actually buying into. You know, I mean, if you're looking at sort of the Soweto area, for example, I mean, if you're a sort of first-time homeowner buying inside a sectional title estate, you know, that market is fairly buoyant. And then you sort of go into more of the northern suburbs of Johannesburg, for example, you're having a look at, say, the Fourways, Paulsdorf, Sunning Hill areas, where, the market is tight, and sellers, again, you know, need to, just having a look now, I mean, we sold, just as an example, we sold a little one-bedroom ground floor unit in Fourways. The purchaser purchased the property from a developer for $575,000 in 2005. We sold it last week for $600,000 in 2025. Mm-hmm. And there's agent's commission that needs to be taken off that as well. You know, so you need to realize, you know, that although the purchaser might in his mind think, okay, I've made, you know, the 25,000 rand, if you take the interest, levies, rates and taxes and so-called capital appreciation into account, you know, it hasn't been a great investment for that purchaser.
Unfortunately not. I mean, you mentioned the year 2010. That was a good year for the property market. I don't even know how to ask this, but are you expecting to see, a time like this again in the near future, given our current trajectory?
Listen, you know, I think that, yeah, you know, I think sort of with the Reserve Bank sort of eyeing, you know, that inflation figure of closer to sort of 3%, potentially for 2026, you know, I think that at least gives the market sort of stability. And I think that, you know, certainly a buyer's market, if you're buying at the bottom end of the market now in Gauteng, and listen, we're going to need to see some proper infrastructure change and, you know, in terms of getting that capital appreciation again, you know, but Gauteng's still got well over 10 million people. You know, people speak about the semigration to the Western Cape, you know, but how many people are moving to Gauteng from the rest of the country? The demand is always going to be here. And hopefully next year with the municipal elections, you know, if we can get some stability and some proper infrastructure change in Gauteng, I think that we will get good capital appreciation again.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Jonathan Collier, CEO and founder of Lansdowne Property Fund.
Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
The vehicle finance market is expanding, but affordability has deteriorated materially, meaning South Africans are stretching themselves to afford new cars. Henry Puerta is executive for strategy and product at APSA Vehicle and Asset. Thank you very much, Henry, for your time this morning. Maybe you can give us a better understanding or context. What's going on?
Hi, Didizeli. Yes, affordability is deteriorating, and it's over a prolonged period since 2015 where vehicle prices increased substantially since 2020. And that affordability has stayed the same since 2020 because we had vehicles coming into South Africa on short supply and consumers had to buy used vehicles during that COVID period. That since has resolved itself, and used new vehicles are in good supply with stable prices over the past 3 years when the rand has now stabilized. So that is assisting.
Mm. How should we understand this with new vehicle sales?
New vehicle sales have increased now year on year. Almost every month, the increases are in double digits, 15 to 20%, mainly on consumer vehicles, not so much on light commercial vehicles. And it's the light commercial vehicles that drive the economy, that's your delivery vehicles and small businesses that use them. So if the economy can recover, if we can see growth again, that is where we would want to see vehicle sales growth as well.
Hmm. Henry, you mentioned the word affordability. So how do you assess affordability?
Affordability is mainly about the income and expenses. The National Credit Act also has certain guidelines that must be utilized when assessing affordability. But the crux of it is, at the end of the month, the consumer must be able to afford the vehicle, afford the insurance, the maintenance of that vehicle. And if that keeps on decreasing, that's when you can't approve as many vehicles for finance. It also helps when interest rates do decline. Maybe not so much on the vehicle because it's a shorter-term product, but once home loans are also cheaper, that's where your biggest saving comes through. And when that comes through, then consumers have the confidence to buy other white goods, which includes vehicles and accessories for the house.
And when you look at demographics, who is buying? What are they buying? Is there a generational difference?
There is interestingly, and maybe we can see it in every other new brands that are launched in South Africa, your first adopters are women between the ages of 35 to 45. They've got the spending power, but they also have the more of an inclination to purchase vehicles and brands that are new to the market but offer very good value. So we've seen a higher growth rate in the Chinese vehicles, and with Suzuki coming in, that's also showing strong growth from that age group. And income is between 20 and 40,000 rand a month. So those women do have spending power, and they are seemingly more inclined to buy a new vehicle that's better value, whilst males tend to buy used vehicles that are more established brands.
Interesting. Henry, unfortunately, that's all we have time for this morning. Henry Puerta is executive for strategy and product at APSA Vehicle and Asset.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
So a growing number of South Africans are joining the gig economy, running side businesses or freelancing. These individuals are said to be struggling to separate personal and business finances, prepare for tax, or track whether their hustles are truly profitable. We speak now to Cassidy Nadal, head of growth at Frank, on a new offering for freelancers and sole proprietors as well as entrepreneurs. And that is called the Hustle Account. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Cassidy. Talk us through a little bit about why you have come up with this product. Okay, unfortunately, we do not have Cassidy on the line. We'll be back with you in just a few seconds.
The StanLib Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with StanLib Asset Management.
So it turns out it is a slow morning for me because we do not have Cassidy on the line. We will get that interview for you maybe on Thursday. If that piqued your curiosity and you are a freelancer, a sole proprietor or an entrepreneur, you can check them out in the meantime before our interview. It's called The Hustle Account to help you track your finances a little bit better instead of spending them as they come in. And with that, we say thank you very much for tuning in to the MoneyWeb Now podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. and podcast just after 7 a.m. A big thank you to the team, Eddie, Nobuhle and Nicole. And this week, we doing things a little bit differently. Swusiso is with us as well as Ms. Mosetla, rather. And thank you for listening and to our guests for their time. We're back with you on Thursday. Have yourselves a magic day ahead. Hopefully you can speak and we'll chat to you again on Thursday.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now the same time every weekday. For more business, finance and investment news. MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.